Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
This episode is brought to you by Snapple. Want to know another Snapple fact? The first hot air balloon passengers were a sheep, a duck, and a rooster. Ridiculous. Check out Snapple.com to find ridiculously flavored Snapple near you.
Welcome to Cobras and Fire. This is Lego Batman, and I'm here with the pantless and freeballing Robin Rocco. Rocco Baco. How are you, sir?
I'm not sure how I can be pantless and freeballing.
That is true. But hey, I was just saying, like, that was a great intro last episode, right? From Decibel Geek. I never knew I was Lego Batman before. Then I saw Lego Batman that weekend with the kids. I was laughing the entire time with his voice.
Yeah, didn't, and apparently I smell like a muskellunge, which I had to Google is a fish that you find up in Lake Superior. And so apparently that was a Minnesota crack. I didn't get it. I thought maybe I had B.O. in Tennessee. Tennessee.
Yeah, that was a bit of a reach. But hey, no, I hope everybody enjoyed our cathartic episode 100 you mentioned on the last one, but we are back. We are moving on. This is going to be a tragedy free episode. What do you think?
Yes, but it probably will still be tragic, don't you think?
Absolutely. And to begin it, and I'm going to begin with what you quoted is the solver and the problem of all the world's problems with a beer, right? Isn't that it?
Yeah, alcohol.
All right. So got it open. I've already had two asshole beers tonight. We went out to dinner at this place called Old Chicago, which does not have a place in Chicago. But
you're talking about the chain restaurant?
Yeah, yeah. They have them in your place too.
Are you a member of the World Beer Tour or whatever?
No, but it was actually pretty good. I've never
They have a lot of beers. I'm four beers short of a t-shirt.
But you do it. Okay, that's cool. Mm-hmm.
Nice. But I mean, I've been four beers short of a t-shirt since, I don't know, 2002. But I do know they still do it.
There should be an expiration period. The guy's like, are you fucking kidding me? It's taking you this long.
I have a card somewhere.
Yeah, all right. I'm drinking a Crooked Stave or Salve. No, I'm kidding. But it's Crooked Stave or Stave.
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 Would you buy like a four pack and you still got one or two left? I saw you post a picture of that a little while back.
But there's a, yeah, and there's a, it's
we go through beers a little faster at the Baco household.
Artisan. It's an artisan, which is artisan, code for charging an extra $2.
Yeah, yeah. Well, so. I am back to my roots. I'm drinking nothing but cold Budweiser tonight.
Ooh, but not even Coors.
All right. No. You know, not that it makes a difference, but you seem to have hung on to this idea that you've battled me, I should say. I'm really more of a Budweiser guy than a Coors Light guy.
All right. Well, but like fair enough.
To be fair, it's not like it really makes a difference. So call me Coors Light guy. I don't care.
Well, here's the deal. So today, first, we're going to get right down to the important stuff, and that's dicks. So I just got a question to ask you, and I know this is getting a little personal, but we got personal last time. So have you ever sent anybody as a joke or as a way to arouse somebody a dick pic?
I don't know. Hold on a second.
Oh God! Right now you did.
That was okay. Bad. I've done it
besides,
once.
Besides that one, have you ever done it before?
No. Thought about it when, you know, hammered, but never had the balls to go through with it. So.
Yeah. I get it. I see what you did there. But here's the thing is, I don't even get that at first. The whole thing about dick pics, and we'll get into I think people already know what we're going to talk about in a second, but. Like, what is the point of a dick pic? I mean, besides if you're going to, like, mess with somebody, does anybody actually think, hey, this is gonna do the thing. This is what my wife needs to see right now. Or this is what my girlfriend needs to see. Because I wouldn't want a picture of just, you know, a vagina or some tits. I don't need to see the whole package. I need to see, like, a selfie of, you know, your lady standing there all naked and stuff like that. I just don't want the part. I don't want, like, a foot. Or you know what I mean? Like that's the part I don't understand at all. Like Favre sending dick pics or whatever, right?
I think it's important though that it's not your wife or your girlfriend. It's maybe someone you went on a date with.
Yeah,
And it's not even appropriate. So there's that too. But it kind of sums up why men are struggling in general to understand a lot of what's going on right now. Yours truly included, by the way. The dick pic makes so much sense without ever making sense. And it's just it's the fucked up mentality of men. Yeah, I actually know guys who probably thought this was a good move.
but here's the thing,
a guy who claimed to have done the popcorn bucket hole in a theater. You know,
Oh God!
I mean,
is a trick? You go in there and you find something other than butter and corn.
Right. Yeah. As she's enjoying some of the popcorn and snuggle up close to you, she gets your penis, and then of course you get to bang.
Right,
so
exactly.
I question the validity of the story. It's not like I was there, and the source wasn't the most reliable, but he was very, very fervent in his telling of the story.
But going with that, like. I've read something that in the last 3 years, there is more memory being used on computers and servers or anything like that than all the time before because nobody deletes their pics. And I say it has to do – there's entire server farms, whatever you call it, dedicated to schlongs. What do you think?
More than one, don't you think?
Okay. Well, we're going to break this up and come back after the song. We have a way to kick this episode off, and that is – one of the more upbeat and fun songs I've heard in a while, and that is from a band out of Sweden called Hardcore Superstar. And this starts out with a little homage to Poltergeist in the beginning, and it is called...
Steve.
Please to see the devil in me. Stop.
All right, Paco. So let's go back into a little dick conversation, and that is Louis C.K.
Hmm. What does the C.K. stand for? Is there two letters between it that we're missing?
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, did you read his apology? I want to go into that real quick.
Yeah, I did.
Did you know this is the first time, I think, in history that a penis has actually written a press release? He just put it on the keyboard and it typed up. Because in the first paragraph saying, like, I'm sorry, I asked permission. I wish I had in front of me. I thought that by asking if it was okay to take out my dick, that it was okay. But I put them into, I think the word was predicament. Quite a predicament you're in.
Because they admired him so much. Yeah, it was a pretty bad apology, too, you know. Anyway, go on.
No, I'm just saying, like, I didn't know this is so widespread. After this came out, it's funny how it just opens up conversation, just kind of like our I guess it was called our Stairway to Heaven, our jerk sock thing, yeah. That we didn't know how comfortable people were talking about this.
Sure.
So in the office, because I work in cubicle world now, you know, water bottle conversation. Is that what it's called?
Water cooler conversation.
Water cooler. There you go. See, that's how long I've been out of the, out of the game. But yeah, so then that came up. And one of the ladies that works there goes, yeah, so one time I was looking for the home. Huh?
At band camp.
I was going on hunting for the house that I ended up getting, and the realtor that I had, I'd gone on two like days looking up for houses, and she was just by herself and everything. And the second day, after like the third house, the guy just pulls out his dick while he's driving. Like he thought he had like a vibe, and she's like, she just like just jumped out of the car. He's like, I'm done. Drop me off.
Like, maybe like, that's his move. You know what I mean?
That's what I'm saying. Like, if the second time I get a little vibe, I'm pulling out the dick. I'm like, this is just terrible.
It is unreal, isn't it? And not to minimize some of these allegations.
No.
I don't know. I mean, because I have done my own kind of inner, like, squirrel back, like, Jesus, you know, what have I done that could come back at me? You know, I mean, I'm not famous and I've never had power over anybody, so.
Oh, you're famous.
Okay.
It's coming down. We are very powerful men.
But think about it. Every man in Hollywood has to be hoping, you know, one, that they don't get cornered on the street by TMZ going, what do you think about Harvey Weinstein or Louis C.K. or Kevin Spacey and anybody that actually worked or knew these people, which is a lot of fucking people.
Yep.
Them especially, it's like everything you say is going to be wrong. You know, it's like you're going to be wrong for turning your back on your friend. You're going to be wrong for saying that's fucked up. I hope he finds help. You're going to be called the liar if you claim you didn't know. If you admit you knew, then you're kind of a jackass because you should have done something. I mean, it's and Louis C.K. kind of hits a lot of us a little harder because, you know, he was kind of like, I don't know, how would you put it? I don't know if you know what I'm saying, but a little more, I don't know, real? Less mainstream, more real.
Well, but he was also
seemed like a good guy.
It didn't surprise me, but it didn't surprise me. And that guy is most comedians, just like podcasters, are damaged in some way. So the thing is that it's not like you're like, oh, that doesn't sound like something out of the realm of what he would do. I can completely picture it, unfortunately. Like, this guy thinks
now,
it's
maybe
normal.
For my own benefit, I've stayed away from a lot of the details, but if you ask a woman that, is it cool if I jack off in front of you while you watch, that might be kind of creepy or weird or fucked up, but what if she's into it too? And how do you find that out without asking?
Well, it's probably something that's not going to be like, come out, somebody you just met, though.
Well, and that's just it. I mean, it sounds like maybe this was done at times that, like, because I heard someone say you shouldn't have to, you know, be asked if you want to see somebody's penis at work. And I wholeheartedly agree with that.
Let's talk about another person that just today, and I'm not sure, I think this is fake news, actually. It sounds too outlandish, but tell us an article you just wrote for Decibel Geek today.
Well, I know, I just posted a news story.
I know.
Something I wrote,
I know.
But What is it? I'm sorry, I can't remember. It is on the Decibel Geek page. I copied it from a New York Post article, but they were actually quoting another.
I thought it was called The Daily Beast.
The Daily Beast. There we go. I'm sorry. I just couldn't remember. Sure. The allegation is that Gene was at Fox News promoting his new stupid book. And
power you should have. Power.
And apparently, behind the scenes, he was inappropriate with some female staffers. And yeah, we'll see. This is just early reporting. It wouldn't shock me if something like this ended up being a little inaccurate, but it wouldn't shock me if it was true. Frankly, I was talking with Amy just, about a week ago, saying, when is this stuff going to start coming back on people like him who have been outwardly, inappropriate? Right, right. Sure. There's video footage of him everywhere doing things that are. I mean, what the hell? He fucked that energy drink model, and they were kind of working together at the time. Couldn't she allege some sexual impropriety because he had a position of authority over her, and all these kind of crazy things that we're thinking of a lot more now. Then maybe he would have been back then. I thought, guys like him would get attached to something like that. I didn't think it would come from fucking Fox News being the bastion of high standards on treating women morally. I didn't think it would be anything new. I think because he's got such a track record,
No, but the thing that's funny, the thing I think is bullshit about it is the article says. I'm going to paraphrase here, but I copied it and posted it earlier, is that supposedly at the Fox studio, they have a picture of him saying, do not let this man come in here.
I don't think that was part of the story I posted.
Oh, no, it's right on the Daily Beast. It says basically that, can you imagine there's a picture of him saying, do not let this man walk into the studio. He is banned from here. Come on. It's like the wanted poster in the Wild West.
Well, I mean, I believe that if Fox News was suddenly to start handling situations like this in their fucked up world, that'd be what you would do. It's like, well, what do we do when we kick somebody out for treating women the way we treat them? we ban them and then lifetime ban and put a poster in the hallway. Make sure that everybody sees that poster and do we have a check that he might have bounced or we can staple that to the wall and embarrass him. So I don't know. Yeah, it's being pretty wildly reported. You'd think if it was fake, Gene would have said something at this point. But, who knows? Maybe he just, he isn't aware.
So anyway, besides that, let's transition to a song. Now, did you subscribe to the Ridiculous Vault weekly updates? Gene Simmons Vault?
Believe it or not, no.
Okay, well, it's great because I get to know exactly, and I was so mad because this is the song I wanted to play today, but it's only them talking about it and a snippet in the background. He released a snippet of what I cannot wait to hear. What song do you think I can't wait to hear?
I don't know. I don't know any of the songs on this.
Well, thing. My Uncle's a Raft.
15, 16?
My Uncle's a Raft. Come on.
Okay.
Don't you want to hear that?
Sure, yeah.
The name alone is worth $2,000. But no, the song that came out is one that I've never seen leaked or anything like that. It's called Hands of Fate, and it was cut off of the landmark, your favorite album, the Sonic Boom album. So that's the.
Oh, of course. If he's gonna leak a track, it's gonna be something that everybody's been clamoring for. Anyway.
But no,
when are we gonna hear those Sonic Boom demos, Gene?
But so yeah, this would have been the best song on Sonic Boom. That's a high benchmark, but the fact that this was on there and Russian Roulette was on there instead, and Animal and all these other just turds where he's talking, singing. He's not even trying to sing. This one he's actually singing on. It's got some cool Queen harmonies, and I'm just going to play it.
Last, you found a flame.
Baco, here's a little fun fact about that song. Again,
hashtag it, fun fact.
Mm-hmm. Again, the song
Paul
is
Stanley. Twitter.
It's Hands of Fate. It costs, I believe, it costs $75 out of the $2,000 for that track alone. However, you do the math. I haven't done the math yet.
Yeah, you can buy the tracks individually on Amazon. That'd be awesome if you did that.
Could I just buy a piecemeal? I just want to buy five tracks for $500. Is that okay? Anyway, so here's a little fun fact. Why do you think the little interview that went along with that? That when they released it, why do you think that song was cut from Sonic Boom? The Walmart exclusive, the Walmart, you know, when they did Sonic Boom, they're really reaching. What I realized on that album is they were using the Walmart bar of quality when they recorded that album. They weren't using
and
Target.
On that,
they weren't using
just
Target.
On the Walmart thing real quick. Can I say something there?
Please.
That is a classic example of Kiss that I was talking about when I said earlier that Gene getting banned from Fox News is sadly the most rock and roll thing that band has been attached to in 15 years. Fucking Walmart exclusives.
Well, AC/DC did it, and it worked. So.
Oh, yeah. Great. Good for them, man.
Right. So, anyway. So
it was just as cool when they did it.
Again, going back to this, what do you think the reason that was off of the album was?
The reason all songs are kicked off a record is because the producer didn't want it there.
And who is the producer?
Paul Stanley.
Yes. So it is amusing because Paul, I just got to tell you, Paul, you're a fucking idiot. That's all I got to say. That would have been the best song by Gene on there. You knocked that one off, but you kept Russian Roulette and Animal and Hot and Cold, where it's like, guess the next verse.
You're an idiot.
Let's do Hot and Cold. It's almost like Blame It on the Boom Boom. You ready? Here we go.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm so hot, you're so cold, I'm really weak, you're so bold, I like cereal in a bowl. Keep going.
I like to do what I'm told.
When I'm sick, it's because I got a cold.
When I... back hurts, it's because I'm so old.
It's just a terrible song. So anyway, so
I thought we were gonna keep going here. I'm like, when the fridge stinks, it's because of mold.
My house is not mine anymore because it's sold. Are we done?
I like to use all caps because it makes me look bold.
My wife's mad when the laundry it ain't folded.
All right, good enough. I like my eggs rolled.
That's good. So my point is that song was cut. And speaking of Paul Stanley, let's talk about another Control thing. Who lost their shit recently? A famous rock talk show host over something involving Gene. Go ahead.
I think Gene ate all of Eddie Trunk's donuts, according to the recent Twitter post from Paul Stanley. Eddie Trunk lost his shit over what was it? It was Gene doing like a robo radio tour, one of those things where he walks down the hallway of the radio, hits all the radio stations in the same building.
What do you mean, all the radio stations in the same building?
Well, I mean, like, well, to quote Eddie Trunk. What a lot of people don't know
is this a one side of the coin?
Both, yeah. It's
actually the same person.
A lot of people who think they know or have something to say, but really don't, like to use a phrase like. What a lot of people need to understand, what a lot of people don't know, what a lot of people don't realize, when you hear that phrase, you are listening to kind of a dense human being. They typically don't have a deep sense of humor. They don't have a lot to offer in the world. It's not just Eddie Trunk. It is a very, I don't know. Because it can almost always, I'm getting on a tangent here, but it can almost always be explained this way. What a lot of people don't understand because they have no reason to even think about, which otherwise it's just a stupid thing to say. A lot of people don't realize how hard it is to fly a plane because they're not a fucking pilot. Anyway, radio stations back in, I don't know, they deregulated radio sometime in the 90s, and three companies now own every radio station in your town. And rather than have them all in their separate buildings, they basically just buy an office and put every radio station that, you know, iHeartRadio owns, the country station, the rock station, the top 40 station, whatever, they're all in the one hallway. So when someone goes to do an interview, they can just hit all every radio station one by one.
But anyway, so that was the setup, right? It was just like, whatever, 20 stations, and Eddie Trunk probably was watching through his window and crying every time Gene walked by and went into
Eddie!
Let's hear a little bit of Eddie right now.
Yeah, I'll play it.
45 years. He is doing the Rolling Stone Music Now show.
Oh, because Rolling Stone has loved Kiss so much over the decades.
Indeed.
Rolling Stone has been such a bastion of Kiss support for the last 45 years. Now, if you think about it, ladies and gentlemen, most people know that there's probably no bigger Kiss fan out there in the world than me. And have been a fanatical Kiss fan and supporter, although outspoken at times about things I don't like that they've done. Telling that Gene is not doing this show, right? You'd think.
Well, there was a schedule of conflicts. We have Scorpion's Town Hall from 3 to 4. He's a busy man.
Well, put it this way. I mean, the studio we're doing the Scorpion's Town Hall out of is the most visible studio
I'll
here.
He has to. Gene told me to my face. He has no problem with me whatsoever. And my views or my opinions are my own. Gene is not doing or coming near me or my shows. Because let's just say his business partner would throw a fit of epidemic proportions. That's what this is really about. Let's be totally honest. And I know that is the case. Which is fine. I get it. Gene's got a, you know, he's got someone he's got to appease. It's, you know, it's like coming home and not wanting to catch shit from your wife when you did something wrong. Last 45 years.
So yeah, he was pretty mad. Like, who do you think told him? Who do you think told him not to go do the interview? Was it Doc? Was it Doc McGee?
Well, don't you think at this point it's just a given? I mean, is there actually like it now? It's basically just a standard operating procedure to not talk to Eddie Trunk if you're in the Kiss world.
But can you imagine him going by? Like, I wonder if he went to a show that had to do with, I don't know, National Geographic or something like that. That had nothing to do with rock. You know, he goes to NPR and I'm trying to think of some other silly things, but nothing to do. Sports radio, whatever. It just does not go by him. I mean, what are some things that maybe Gene could have done to fuck with him? Just walking by. What are some things?
I would, as long as I knew Eddie saw me, if I was Gene, I would text him and have him meet me like in the parking lot or something.
Never
or like,
be there.
Wait for me in the lobby after I leave. I would call and say, yeah, I'm ready to do an interview, and then just put him on hold and see how long he waits.
What about if Gene just like walked into the studio and goes, I'm sorry, wrong turn. And just walks out.
And as an icing on the cake, he'd crop dust on the way out.
Just drops a bomb and leaves. Excuse me. What about this? What about one of those windows that, you know, it's not like a two-way glass or whatever, but it's hard to see through it. Like he just puts his big Gene face against it and like puts his hands over it, like peers in, and then all of a sudden realizes this is Eddie's studio and just like is aghast and walks away. That would be a good one too. It's like, oh, wrong one. Sorry, I thought this was Jack Handy's.
Last 45 years.
Okay, so this is going to be the beginning of, we're just going to call it. This is going to be a three-part series. We're going to start, and we're just calling it. We are going to do our garbage and gold episode. That's what this one is, playing some great music and also talking about some just garbage albums and garbage fire dumpster albums that we anticipated, and then just kind of shit the bed. And then next episode is going to be blue balls, so ones that kind of got us going but didn't finish us off, right? Kind of like we're like the Louis. These are the Louis C.K. albums when he's denied to finish himself off, right?
Yeah, when the girl walks out before he's done.
Exactly, exactly.
These records are the girl walking out. Yeah.
But anyway, so here's that we're going to take a hard left. You want a hard left?
Yeah, let's do it.
Hard. We're going to do a band. Have you ever heard of a band called Electric Guitars?
No.
Okay, this is another gold single, at least. And that is, and I can't believe that name for a band has not been used in the entire since rock and roll has started. It's a decent name for a band, right? It's better than Black Rose or whatever. Yeah?
I don't know. I think it sucks.
All right, fine. Fuck you.
So that's no crud.
You still like crud better than electric guitars?
Well, I actually like crud.
I know you do. I know you do. So anyway, this track was sent. I basically sent out some messages on Facebook saying, hey, I need some ripe rock, some new stuff from 2017. What do you have to recommend? And I can't remember which one. It's either Bob or Doug McKenzie from the Canadians Talk Metal show. Which one is it? Is it Bob or?
Steal another one of my joke, bro. Bruh.
Anyway, so this is Electric Guitars with the track Lucy Glow.
Anyway.
Baco, so we've been talking about dicks and Kiss and all kinds of other stuff, and we haven't really talked about the theme of the show, which is par for the course for this podcast in general. So you know,
kissing dicks with cobras and fire.
Well, what I mean is not staying focused and tangents and whatnot. But you know, we came up with a couple of different themes.
We're the Ritalin show.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So drink.
Oh, absolutely.
We should do that. That way it will kind of. We should come up with every single thing that we say too much. We should have to make a drink, and that will slowly wean us off of doing that. What do you think?
Well, I think for me, it'll encourage me to say.
Anyway, so let's get down to business, Bucko. And that is one of the themes that I came up with for the our episode 101. Do you remember any of them?
I remember. Well, I don't know how serious you were, but you definitely did bring it up. And
all Dalmatians. Dalmatians.
An episode about Dalmatians.
101 Dalmatians. We were going to do everything that had to do with spots, dogs, firemen. What do you think? Think about that. There's so incest? Much material. Okay, firemen and incest.
Well, you know, they are a well-known breed of, known for inbreeding.
Do you know that was another working title for the show? It was Cobras and Fire or Firemen and Incest. It was one of the two.
That can be our side cast.
That could be the even worse podcast, Firemen and Incest. I would like to see that in iTunes. First off, who the hell is typing in Firemen? Is there any podcast specifically about firemen, or are there any about incest? Oh my God, there's both in one. Yeah.
So. I want to call the episode Kissing Dicks. I don't know why you had a problem.
Well, it sounds a little bit like Kissing Dicks, but we're going to move on.
Yeah, so Kissing Dicks.
Here's a single that dropped this week that I'd like to, I don't know if you've heard it yet or what your opinion is, but I want to play it. And that's, what do you think about the new Stone Temple Pilots song?
You know, it was okay.
That's what I thought. Let me rephrase that.
Yeah. I really like the music a lot. I have an almost instant beef that needs to be overcome when it's like somebody who's plucked from a reality singing show.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And they doubled up with someone who tried to kind of mimic Weiland, but they are at that point in their career where they're not really going to be able to do a lot of new stuff, regardless of how they want to progress, right? You know, when you've been in what they've been for as long as they have, people want to hear the hits. So I kind of give them a pass because it's kind of like the Journey thing. When people go to see them, they want it to sound like Journey, you know? And so, I don't know.
It's a mixed bag. No, I totally understand
I'm
that,
on the fence right now, right. Long term. I thought the song was promising. The music is great.
It is. The guitar tone is
some of the best sounding music I've heard. And actually, everything, the lyrics, the melody, I just was rubbed a little bit. But I got to hear more.
Cause I'm willing to say, fade away and run on.
beer number four, people, and we're recording two more episodes tonight. So good luck. Strap in. Now
I can't wait for episode three.
Episode three. I don't even know what the theme is going to be at that point. It's going to be our top five. We're going to forget all of them. So let's move on. Garbage albums. We define garbage albums here at the Cobras and Fire headquarters as albums that we anticipated from artists we liked, or from ones that are of the new breed and, you know, we had some hopes for, and they just basically, they're garbage. They're things that you would throw away. You know, kind of like my Samantha 7 collection. Got it?
Yeah, by the way, thanks for pointing that out when I was out there that it was in your garbage can. I grabbed it on my way out.
By the way, real quick tangent, and that is I want to compliment you on your music selection on your Asshole Radio episode.
Oh, thank you.
And it goes to show that I feel really bad because there's a lot of songs on there that I've never heard before. I would say 90% of them. And the fact that I owned a Samantha 7 CD but did not own any of that music is just awful. The fact that one day I went into a store and said, I will give you this cash and you will in return present me with CC DeVille's side project is a sin, wouldn't you say?
I only heard a couple songs off of Samantha 7, and I thought it was okay.
It's horrible. I mean, it's something that.
But I was never compelled to buy it.
Listen, I can tell you this much: if you heard that album, and then you heard "I Hate Every Bone in Your Body But Mine," you would find it to be a classic. You understand?
Okay.
Okay. Moving on, garbage albums. You want me to start, or you want to start?
Yeah, why don't you run down your list, and I'll throw any you didn't hit on mine. I got a feeling we're going to have some similarities. Mm-hmm.
And with these garbage albums, sometimes there's one song that's good, one, two, whatever. But if it doesn't have three or more, it's 100% garbage. Understood? Is that a good enough definition?
I'm totally comfortable with that.
Let's start alphabetically, and then we'll and that is Accept. What was the name of the album?
I already forgot.
Kool-Aid. Exactly. Was it called
Brain I Drink Damage?
Kool-Aid.
My cell phone is smarter than me.
You know what? I'm actually going to play a little clip because I busted out laughing again. Not the Kool-Aid song because we ripped on that, but we're going to play the first verse of Analog Man. I was born in a cave with stereo. So, yeah, I think that song was either written by Accept or Captain Caveman. Continue.
Captain Caveman! That was one of my favorite cartoons.
Oh, it was amazing. But, what did he have inside that club? Wasn't there like a bird that lived in there?
Yeah, honestly, I don't remember. I just remember, you know, the catchphrase. And didn't he have some like pretty hot squish that hung out with him?
I don't remember. Can you imagine if his partner in crime was named like something squish? Let me think of like
Samantha 7.
Let me think of Squishosaurus. What do you think about that?
Yeah, no. It wasn't Captain Caveman like almost Encino Man, like a caveman in modern day times.
I think it was made.
I swear that like he had some like kind of like a little hot, you know, little girls that are ladies that hung with him. Some cave squish.
Captain Caveman was hairy, but he pulled some wool. What do you say?
Yeah.
All right, so let's go down some more garbage albums. Next, and this is a band that you know I'm a big fan of, The Biters, with their second album, The Future Ain't What It Used to Be. Great cover. I love the title of the album. The album is complete shit. There is one song on it called Vulture City that I played in an early episode. I went back and actually listened to it. I was like, can I find another song on here out of 10 tracks that I can feature on here? And the answer is no. So I am moving past that. You want me to continue?
Yes.
Steel Panther, Lowering the Bar.
I knew this is going to be on your list.
Lowering the Bar. There's not a single song on here. Like, did you like any songs on this?
Never listened to it.
Well, you're not missing anything. Fucking awful. Next on the list.
I wouldn't say I'm missing it, Bob.
That's right. Next on the list, I'm going to do Queens of the Stone Age. Did you listen to the album?
This is on my list.
Do you want to have some any feedback on that? Because I am a Queens of the Stone Age fan.
I am too, yeah. This is very disappointing because they took such a long break this time. And I understand it's really just Josh Homme and whatever he wants to do.
Sure.
But they did, God, they really peaked on Lullabies to Paralyze, and everything since has been kind of a downward slide, and this is just continues that. I found it, I don't know, unimaginative, nothing to really grab you or get you going. Maybe it's too arty, but I don't know.
It's like they've turned into a version of Radiohead to me.
Yes. He should go back to playing drums with Eagles of Death Metal if this is all he's going to turn out with the Quatsa.
What was the last album, though? It was like 3 or 4 years ago?
Oh, longer than that.
I don't know. It had a red cover.
6 or 7 years.
No. It had like At the Ocean and also had like another If I Had a Tail. It was only like 5 years ago. Anyway, that one at least.
You said 3 and I said 6. I win.
No, you said 7. The Price is Right, motherfucker. I was under.
Yeah. But roll the tape.
Doesn't matter. The thing is, at least that album, there's not a single track on that album I like. There's at least 3 on the previous one.
Well, here's the problem. There's one song on this record I like, and I can't remember the name of it.
So really?
I'm not going to fucking dig into it, though.
Okay. But you want me to continue, or do you want to?
Yes,
I have like four more. Okay. So next one is just anything from Pop Evil. I like their first album. They have a single out that's atrocious. Five Finger just put out a song that I'm just going to Five Finger Durst Punch just put out a song. And I just want to mention it in general.
Five Flavored Diarrhea Punch.
And that's the song called Trouble. And I just want to explain the lyrics. The whole lyric of it is, I don't look for trouble, trouble finds me. Which is exactly the line you would hear from somebody that's an alcoholic. What do you say? Yeah.
Yeah.
Who's lost, who's been kicked out multiple times. Like, it's not my problem. I just wake up every day wearing sweatpants and decide that's the outfit I'm going to wear on stage.
I always imagined that Ivan Moody is the guy who goes, how come every room I'm in smells like crap?
And he's got a big dump in his diaper. I mean,
it smelled like shit in Milwaukee, and we're not even there anymore.
I mean, Ivan Moody is somebody that if you lined up him and Fred Durst, Fred Durst would look like the sexiest man alive. What do you think? Anyway, so that song is ridiculous. The Sword, pronounce that better for me.
The Sword.
The Sword put out a live album.
Featuring Brian Sword of the Double Stop.
I don't think so.
Of course it's not.
Yes, but anyway, so they put out a live album, and the entire purpose of this live album must have been to convince people not to see them live. It is fucking awfully recorded, terrible vocals. The mix is terrible. I can tell you this much. My buddy was here from out of town, and specifically from that live album, the Sword was playing 2 miles away from us, and I liked them. And I said, we're not going to go. So good job, guys. You decreased your ticket sales from releasing that. And probably the most ridiculous album. I'm not sure if this came out in the end of 2016 or 17, but Avenged Sevenfold put out an album. Actually, this wasn't anticipated, but it's called The Stage, and they need to get the fuck off of it. It was a terrible. Did you even peruse it? I know you're not a fan at all.
No.
Yeah. I just looked at it as an interesting thing, because this is one of those things where they released it with no hype at all. It just showed up one day, and this is, yeah, and it failed miserably. So that was a terrible album. One of the bands that I was looking forward to, having a new album was Weezer. I have a love-hate relationship. I think you have a little bit too. You like some of their old stuff.
Sure, yeah. They've been around long enough now. I can firmly say, even though I don't know that they've ever done one, they are now a greatest hits band for me.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, these guys, they put out a new album. I can't remember the exact title, but the first single was Mexican Fender, which is a ridiculous title. And it's a good song. It's a decent song, but it's a
great
good
title. Go fuck yourself.
Yeah, exactly. It is a it's a great Butch Walker song. Butch Walker produced the whole album, and it is a slick, overproduced pile of dog shit. It is so bad, so bad. The only good song, decent song in comparison is Mexican Fender. I am not going to play it. I am actually going to play it.
I got a question. Go ahead. Maybe not a question, more of a comment. I'm curious, like, what kind of money or income or lifestyle Butch Walker lives.
Huge.
Because he seems to be step short of something great with everything he does.
Yep.
Just a turn shy. So now, but at the same time, the bulk of what he does now is on the side that a lot of money can be made without ever knowing about it. So it just seems like he's always attached to a lot of stuff that just falls short of good or great.
He's produced Lindsay Lohan when she put out an album.
I don't think he made a lot of money on that.
Oh, I'm sure he did.
Maybe upfront money, but there's
residuals and stuff like that. Like, he's produced Pink.
And he's written for a lot of Pop-Tarts, and he's done a lot of, again, the production and the writing that he's... That's the area that you can actually make a living at more than you can be in the famous person.
Oh, yeah.
Typically. I mean, it's an area because you can stay busy and get a lot of sources to, you know, that can come in different amounts of money. So, but he's never been, you know, he's never done the Black Album. You know what I mean?
Oh, no.
He didn't do fucking Pyromania. No. Everything he's done has just been kind of... And I'm generalizing, and I don't know that much, but I'm just curious. Does he really have a ton of money? Because he's very talented.
I think he has a ton of money from all the songwriting, because he's done a huge scope. I've read his book. It's a very fascinating book where he's written for so
I gotta read that, by the way,
for so many people. Even if you don't like his stuff, like I am hot and cold on him. I like this album, his first album, Butch Walker solo album, was very like 80s ish, and then he had Marvelous 3, the Ready, Sex, Go one is great. And then there's hit or miss. There's a couple tracks here and there. A lot of it's really douchey. There's his last one called Stay Gold was pretty good, but it was kind of like a Tom Petty album. And but he's all over the place. But absolutely, that guy's fucking rolling in it. 100%. He is doing really well, especially in the music industry right now. But the whole point of me going through all this is that the Weezer album is a shitty Butch Walker album. It's completely co-written by him. It's overproduced. It's really poppy. Every single song has Butch Walker's co-write on it. Here's the main thing. I am not going to play a song by that, but there is a artist called CJ Wildheart who had an album that came out this year. And he's just a random dude that he is connected, I believe, to the Wildhearts somewhere, the band, the Wildhearts. But he randomly put a cover. I know you're a big cover guy, but this one I think fucking rocks. Yeah. And that is a cover of Tired of Sex.
I'm scared.
anyway, that was the opening track from Pinkerton, Weezer's album Pinkerton, one of their best, I think. And so continue. Why don't you tell me your garbage albums, and we'll kind of wrap this up.
Well, you touched on a couple, the Queens of the Stone Age and Accept. I have Danko Jones on there. I liked it a lot.
Garbage?
Right when I first heard it.
Really?
Yeah, I have not. The first 2 weeks it was out, it got a little bit of a buzz for me. I haven't gone back once, and when we started talking about this a couple weeks ago, I said, I better give that another listen, and it did not make the medium. It did not get the blue balls ranking for me.
I figured at least get blue balls for you. So you think it's worse than Rock is Black and Blue or whatever?
You know, no, there's something in between there. Fire
music
you're talking
about. You think Fire Music is better?
No. I actually think this is an improvement over Fire Music and Rock
that's
and Roll
still garbage.
Black and Blue.
Wow, and that's still a garbage album for you. That's fine. I'm not gonna influence
I
your
have
opinion,
grown but. As a Danko fan, and got more absorbed into his earlier stuff.
Sure.
That now some of these later records, which I actually heard, I heard Rock and Roll is Black and Blue and Fire Music, those are the first two records I heard by him.
What?
And everything else
below,
that I went back to.
Whoa. You heard Below the Belt after you heard those?
Yep.
I did not know that. I thought you were like...
No, but I had actually bought on an Amazon MP3 album sale.
Sure.
I bought Below the Belt. What is it? I Am a Lion or...
Well, that was his first one. Yeah. Almost.
I bought like three of his records and never listened to them.
Okay.
And then, I mean, I may have played them like on random or something like that, but Rock and Roll and Black and Blue was the first one I got brand new, and that was the first one I really listened to, and I liked it a lot. And then Fire Music came out right after I bought that. And so that was another one that I liked. And then I started digging back into it, and that was right around the time you and I started doing the podcast, which is why if you go back and listen to that Danko episode, I'm much more familiar with those two records.
Sure.
But now I've grown to like, oh my God, this is the stuff. And so this is probably his best record of those three.
Sure.
The last three.
But still garbage to you. Okay.
To me, yeah, I'm like, I don't know. Now you've convinced me it probably is a Blue Balls record. But
well, it's got like five or six tracks. That's my first evaluation. I like nothing but one track on Rock and Roll is Black and Blue. I like maybe three songs on Fight Music. But the do you want to pick a track
you pick
off
a song.
This?
Pick a song? Pick your favorite track off of this. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm not so sure because we played a few on it before, but I want to play what I think is probably the best riff of the album, and that's She Likes It.
Yeah, okay. That's a good one.
Wants is one.
All right, Baco, we are finishing episode one here, and we've got a couple more garbage albums to go, but I got to tell you.
Kissing dicks.
We are continuing our garbage albums episode, and we've got one more to go. And I got to tell you, we got two more episodes to do, but I don't know about you, but hold on just a moment, okay? Because I have to fix something. Yeah. You ready? Okay, hold on. Oh, God, that's much better. Hold on.
Pants off?
No, I'm shirtless.
Oh, let's fight.
Once I have a couple of drinks in me, my heat goes up. And I gotta get shirtless. Let's go shirtless podcast. Shirtless and free balling. What do you say?
Yeah, man. And then we fight.
Exactly. We fight. I find the first flight out, the first red eye, and I show up in St. Paul and punch you in the face.
Yeah, I'll meet you in Bismarck, and we can fight there.
Is that a halfway point? I don't think so.
No, it's nowhere. It's
not even halfway.
It's out of both of our ways.
That's perfect. What's inconvenient? what's inconvenient for you and me? That's where we'll go.
All right. So I'm going to have to drink on the plane, though, to be just as drunk when I get there.
All right, perfect. Keep it up. So here's the thing. We're going to do one more garbage album, and it is definitely one that I agree on, too. Which has continued to, I think it's you've developed hate more for it as time has gone on. And it's actually something I'm really surprised that you actually bought and spent your money on. But continue.
Anyway, but yeah, the last one here then is Kid Rock just released a new record. What's it called? The Sweet Southern Honey Charm or something?
It's Sweet Summer Honey Knuckle, I think.
Okay, yeah, Moose Knuckle.
Moose Knuckle. Sweet Honey yes. Moose Knuckle. And by the way, what's the cover he does on there?
What is the cover? Fucking
sweet A. Honey, ba ba ba. Isn't it an old Temptation
sweet
song?
Sweet pie, honey. Sweet pie, honey bun.
What?
You know I love you.
What Motown band is it? The Temptations.
I can't help myself. I love you and nobody else. Come on, Luce. Well, there's no reason to do almost any cover that's ever been done.
Yeah, but that one is random.
9 out of 10.
Come on, go.
Yeah, you know what? If it's a huge, timeless hit that everybody's fucking heard just by going out into the world, you know, like
why
shopping,
yeah.
Then, yeah, you shouldn't be covering it. No. No matter how soulful you think it makes you look.
No.
Yeah, this record, the first spin, I was like, you know, not bad. It's his best thing since Rock and Roll Jesus, and I still feel that way. But I've listened to it a few more times since, and each time I get angrier and angrier and madder at what a pile of dog shit this is. He is a talented guy, but he has lost his way. He is not inspired at all. To me, this is a lot like my feelings for the last two Kiss records. Just uninspired, pointless garbage, going through the motions. This is how I wrote a song 15 years ago. Let me do that again. It's not like they're driven by any purpose or sense of, like, this grabbed them one day and they're in the shower and they're like, oh my God, this melody's in my head. Let me go fucking record a song. It is just drivel. And this album continued to just infuriate me, and I'm pretty sure I've played it for the last time.
But what track you want to... What's
he kinda... doesn't actually rap enough, and I'm not a rap fan. I would like to see him kind of get into that a little more.
I do, too.
I don't know about you.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely, I would. But the... let's kind of close it out with this, and we'll see you soon with our Blue Balls episode. So get worked up and get sore, because that episode is coming out a week from today. So what do you want? You want to do our sign out and then pick? Why don't you say what track we're going to play, and then we'll do our sign off.
A yard full of chickens. Wait, no, house full of chickens and a yard full of junk.
Is that what it goes? How it goes?
Something like that. Who fucking cares? Podunk!
Who knows that we had spent 8 minutes talking about Kid Rock in this episode? What do you think?
Yeah, let's move on. Time to wrap it up.
You ready? You ready for my Lego Batman voice? We'll get going.
Let's do this. What stinks?
Rock's not dead.
It's hiding!
And you found it.
Kissing dicks.
Do 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 do. some jeans all ripped. Got a baby in a belly and a baby on a hip. Little toe-headed rascal peeing off the porch. Daddy got a shotgun looking for a stork.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's fantasypoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. Fantasypoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.